Were you involved in rugby administration at the time that the game went professional?
Yes, only with the county. Really, when I say administratively, well, it was in a way, because I was looking after the team, the senior teams then, because it still holds a great affinity from the past, really, and I'm still part and parcel of it now with the county, that it is another outlet for representative rugby that a lot of players don't get, and it's still held in quite high esteem, particularly here in Lancashire. I know the Lancashire boys still love it, love every minute of it. And whilst it doesn't involve the Premiership, obviously, you know, Championship players still want to come and have a go at it. And it just gives, I think, players... It's a bit of the end of the season. It's you know, you don't get tours these days, do you? Or don't get very many of them, put it that way, other than way down in community rugby, maybe. But to have the opportunity to play with some of the guys that you don't normally play with in a representative field is very good. And over the latter years, they've brought out the England counties 15, which tours magic spots like Korea and Japan or Namibia or Canada. They've been to South America. Bloody brilliant trips, really. And for those who've gone on, loved every minute of it. And it's brought them out.
Because it doesn't get as much publicised.
No, probably. No. The final is still played at Twickenham. Yeah. But no, it's been... It's a sop in a way from the rugby union.
So what happened? Was it with professionalisation that killed off the county matches?
Yeah.
Whereas the county matches, as far as I can make out, were the pinnacle, weren't they? Everybody wanted to play for the county.
It was the stepping stone to a national cup. Yeah. You know.
So was it at a stroke that those big county games just
faded away in the early stages of professionalism, because really club owners wouldn't release the players. It was as simple as that. You know, they were committed, and then because the season structure didn't allow it was all crammed in between games, and clubs couldn't afford to let them off in many respects, you know. And it soon got that bitterness, really, that it's now you don't pick Premiership players other than the club itself says, well, we would like you, if somebody wants to come back and have a game, just to get them back into this field.
I didn't realise that there were still county games in Gloucestershire until I started looking you up on the internet and finding wherever Gloucestershire is mentioned, your name is mentioned. So you're right in there pushing it along.
Well, I've been on the county committee now for 33 years, I think it is, and enjoyed it, enjoyed every minute of it. And it was great that, you know, a couple of people came and said to me, have you ever thought about going on the rugby union? So I've had 9 years now on the rugby union, which again is challenging. As I said, sometimes you feel way out of your depth on certain features that particularly business orientated things that are way above my head, really. But on the other things, yeah. But my personal feelings are that what I can give there is, you know, what are we all doing it for, really and truly? At the end of the day, whether it's professional or what, the basic sort of aim is enjoyment, both for the spectator and for the player, and even for the referee, if need be. Definitely for the referee.
Even the referee.
Exactly. But, you know, and it is. It is still a game. And I know brings out passions and, you know, tribalism to the nth degree. But what's wrong with that? Nothing really, is it? I mean, as long as it's contained within the rules, and I think this is where rugby definitely outstrips football by any means, is that we can contain ourselves within those rules, really. And I think they're losing their way a bit because, you've got it in Scotland, haven't you, this weekend, that the refs have decided that they're going to do it.
Crazy.
I think, fortunately, you know, it was interesting at our meeting the county was last week that the referees came back and thanked people for their promotion of the fact that far too much abuse was creeping into rugby towards the referees. And unfortunately, I think a lot of this has come from the social changes that you've got, and also the sort of growth of junior football, where father comes along or the parents come along and they try and live their own lack of grandeur, put it that way, through their kids. So they're berating them to win, and within that field can become most abusive to the officials. It's a blip in society, I think. I think the things that are lacking in modern day rugby is through the social end again, really, because you find now, I know things change, and we did, you know, you could hardly sleep on a Friday night because you were waiting to get on that bus tomorrow to go and play somewhere, and you knew when you got there you'd have a great game of rugby. It was more social then. Straight after the game you had a few beers and you were entertained by your hosts.
With the lads.
That's it. And even, you know, we at Stroud used to go to London five times a year. And of course, in those days, to go to London was virtually unheard of, wasn't it, really? And to go there and be entertained for the night and then reciprocate when they came back to you. But now, if I turn around to some of our guys at Stroud and say, oh, by the way, you know, we've got to go to Torquay to play in a cup game next week. Oh, Christ, if we don't get back by 5:30, we ain't going to go, you know. Yeah. And it's that vast change, which is not for the better.
Well, one of the things that broke that down was when, you know, most of the players had motorcars.
Well, exactly.
And you didn't all go on the coach anymore.
No. Well, that's crept in. You've got drink and drive as well. Yeah. You know, there are all sorts of facets that come into it. The girls as well, and have got a lot of these blokes, you know, I want you home, or you come home, or we'll come and go, and we'll go into town. But this is the demise then of a lot of local clubs, because the lifeblood is the bar, and the sales are in the bar, and it really
Well, my local club, you go in after 6:30 and there's hardly any of them left.
I know, and this is a sadness that I think is not only losing that, but it's losing the characters that came out of it, you know. Because as you got older, you knew your counterparts on the committee from old Snortons or whatever it is, and you looked for him, and you went out the way to make sure that when he was in your hospitality that you looked after him again.
Do you think this still exists at the really the lowest levels, at the village levels? I'm sure there's a village rugby team. They'd be in the bar afterwards having a few jars.
Oh, there are the clubs, many clubs that still have that affinity, you know, and still look forward to going track.
Sure.
But leagues, you know, you would always, in a close-knit, I know, I've come across teams in Birmingham that used to love coming down here to play Gordon League or play Widden Old Boys or play whoever. But now, leagues, they're in different leagues, so they're not accorded that opportunity.
Sure.
So, and with the going up and down, you know, I know it was wrong in many respects, because it was like Stroud. We had a set fixture list that really just rolled on. I was fixture secretary for probably 20 years.
Year after year, you just
rang the same bloke up, see you in, and that was done. It raised then problems because you had teams coming up, you know, the rise of Matson, for instance, you know.
How do you break into
it? How do we get into it? And you were accused of all sorts, you know. And then if you gave them a fixture, your own club would say, well, what do you want to do that sort of business, you know. So really, when leagues came to be, it did have a vast change.
Certainly a lot of the older course rugby players, you might call them, it just wasn't the game for them anymore.
No, and it finished it off completely.
I remember my local club, their front row were photographed a year or two before leagues came in, and they were age 160 between the three. You won't see that today.
No. But then again, you know, they're usually... Jeff Probyn, you know.
Yeah.
We were coming back from France some time ago, you know, and we'd be just sharing a seat, you know, we were talking away there, I was saying about what did he think of the academies, and I won't repeat what he said because he wasn't very complimentary on them, but he said, you know, he said, I grew up, he said, I remember I was sort of 1920, Jack the Lad, and propping in Wasp, I think it was either Wasp first or somebody's first name. He said, and thought I was the bee's knee, scoring tries and all that. He said, and I got injured, a fairly long-term injury, and he said, coming back, I ended up playing against, I think it was Guildford Force or something, and he said, there was an old guy there propping against me. He said that he must have been getting on for 50. He said, but where he shoved my head, he said, has never ever been before. He said, and I learnt more that afternoon from that bloke, not maliciously, but he just, you know, like the young pup, I'll show you, mate. And he said, he certainly showed me. And I ended up playing for England. So, you know, these things have their advantages.
But it's not all bad. I mean, I think the game's a lot cleaner now and the better for it.
Yeah,
you know, there isn't as much foul play.
The particularly within the pack, the hidden punches and you know, the dirty men.
I don't think you need it
because there's TV, but the sheer physicality of it. I mean, when you look at some of the old games that we all featured in, and you thought you were fast, blimey, you know, the girls can go quicker than we can go. So.